Good evening, and I invite you to turn with me tonight to Psalm 100. We're going to continue the theme of Thanksgiving and title this message tonight, just Thanksgiving Praise. Psalm 100 is kind of a little bit shorter message, and hopefully we'll get through this in a few minutes. It's been a while since I preached to you on Sunday night, so I know that makes Brother Don very nervous when I get back up here, and he's over here giving me a witness right now, and so I appreciate that. But I appreciate the church's support as we've been doing some equipping classes on Sunday night dealing with the subject of marriage, very important classes in the life of our church. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that is not only pro-life but pro-marriage, because we live in a society today that really makes little of these things of God. And so it's been a blessing, but I am looking forward to being back in the pulpit some on Sunday evening, along with some of our other capable men of God. And so we've got some special services coming up. I think next Sunday night, Brother Darrell's got lined up for us a special concert. So we'll be looking forward to that. The Blackwoods will be here with us. And so hopefully even some of that and all the choir will be presenting to us next Sunday morning, and it'll help just implement an application on what we're going to share from God's word tonight on just giving God praise and giving God thanksgiving. I appreciate Brother Don's introduction remarks. I know that we're kind of past the official holiday of Thanksgiving now, but as he mentioned a minute ago in his welcome, Thanksgiving needs to be a continual way of life for us as Christians. And we see a deterioration of Thanksgiving. We see a deterioration of just a heart of gratitude and thankfulness in our society today. It seems like fewer and fewer people, we constantly, from a sociological background, we hear terms being used quite a bit today, people who feel entitled, generations that feel entitled, and people who aren't grateful. They think that everything and more is owed to them, and they never take the time to give thanks. And as I was looking at this and just thinking about this, a few passages come to mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it lists ungratefulness as one of the signs of the times at the end of the age. Ungratefulness as one of the signs of the times. And even we as Christians, you know, we can get kind of caught up in life a little bit. Just seeing the basic things in life that we take for granted. And hopefully tonight's little message will spur us and kind of cause us to regather our thoughts and be grateful. Recently I saw on social media, it may have been some time ago, but I think it's replayed a little bit on some of the venues, that there was a family, even a television commercial, where a family gets out of bed in the morning, they walk over and they hit their light switch, and they realize that that's a really big thing, because there are people today in our world who don't have lights and don't have electricity. And there's people who don't have shelter and clothing and just some of the basic necessities of life. Brother Don's series of messages on Sunday morning hopefully have made us very aware of these things as well. It kind of reminded me of the story where the little boy went to church with his family, and it just seems like the mom was a little uptight after church, and sitting around at lunch, you know, they started just kind of venting a little bit. And the mom said, "The choir sure was off a little bit today." And the dad said, "Well, it was, you know, the tempter wasn't right in there either." And the daughter said, "And the sermon was way too long." And the little boy said, "Well, I thought it was a pretty good show for a quarter, you know." He had put 25 cents in the offering. And so he thought it was pretty good. So it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. But even we can take things for granted. And so to be part of a society, and especially a spiritual family, the church of God, and our church specifically here in Conway, and your lives and your families, you know, we can continue to grumble and complain the way generations have done, and we can turned God's favor against us to some degree. You think about the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings, and I think sometimes we get stuck in our own wilderness wanderings. They were not a grateful people. And God prohibited that generation from going in to the promised land. And we have our own promised land that God wants us to enter into, that abundant life that he has for us in his glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And it's such a sad commentary that so few Christians really enter into that promised land. So as we look at this tonight, we'll just kind of break down this little psalm and just look at it and understand. We've kind of just painted the call here for us tonight, the call to come into his presence, even as this says, with thanksgiving from verse 3, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But let me read the entire psalm. It's just a few verses here. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and he has made us, and we are his. We are the people, we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege just to share from your word again. I pray that you will just anoint us, Lord, tonight and give us insight, an awareness of this wonderful call that you placed upon our life to be grateful people, to be people who truly give thanks, especially to you, first and foremost. We thank you for this psalm and what it would mean to us, Lord, if we would just make application to our life. And we have so much to be thankful for. And we pray that your spirit will just continue to stir our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, you know, God truly calls us as his children to be different. You know, there's a passage that I thought I was looking at this morning. Some of y'all have been reading through the New Morning Mercies, the Paul David Tripp book. And although he has a text there that he gives us some insights and thoughts, he always gives us a passage of scripture to read. And this morning's passage was Romans chapter 1. And as I looked at Romans 1, it occurred to me in verse 21, and I was thinking about this message. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I guess if we was to flip this tonight, although most of our message is going to accent the positive, this would be classified as the sin of ingratitude. Being ungrateful for what we have when God has blessed us so wonderfully, and we're so thankful for that. So as we look at this tonight, let's just break down these first few verses. First of all, I want us just to consider for a moment even how we come into God's presence and approaching God. Approaching God. I think sometimes we're just too haphazard in how we approach God. And the psalmist lays out some very clear commands for us here tonight. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And so God is calling us here to come into his presence with this spirit of joy and this excitement that's in our lives. And he says, so make a joyful noise. Some translations even say, make a joyful shout to the Lord. In the original language, it means to raise a shout or to give forth a blast. We would even think about a horns blast. We love the melodies of our music here at Central. We love the orchestra. We love the voices. And this Psalms will deal with all that. And so it tells us to come into his presence, it says, with shouts of joy. And with joyful shouting, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I know for some of us tonight, perhaps depending on your personality, you may say, well, Brother Mike, I'm just not a shouter. Or I'm just not one that gets too excited about things. Well, maybe we should get excited about the things of God a little bit more than what we do. We live in a society today that very easily gets excited about a lot of different things, but they seem to be the wrong things. We get excited about athletic events, sports events, ball games, and things like that. We'll shout, we'll grumble, we'll complain. Sometimes we'll even throw stuff. Who knows? And that needs to be a caution to us. But you know, when we think about shouting and we think about making a joyful noise to the Lord as we approach God, we think about all these great realities of how God has blessed us. And maybe some people feel like that their personality just really doesn't allow them to express a true spirit of excitement and a true spirit of thanksgiving to God. It's usually easy. We're very blessed here at Central in our worship service to get into the spirit of things and allow God's Holy Spirit to just pour out His Spirit upon us. But even some of that, I feel sometimes some of us, just because of our own awkward disposition perhaps, or maybe our own mentality of even coming to the worship service, it would take a stick of dynamite to get us excited about worship. And I don't know why that is. When God is the most exciting reality in all the world, and we can express ourselves before God, and we can say, Brother Mike, like you said a minute ago, I'm just going to bow and plead that. It's just not my nature. Well, it needs to become our nature. There needs to be times that we make a joyful noise, it says, to the Lord. And He's calling this as a universal call of praise and worship to all the earth. He says, no one is excluded from this. We're all included in this call to worship, how we approach God. I realize in the Old Testament era, the people were very cautious of how they approached God. And even in this is a messianic psalms that is prophetic in nature. And it looks for a time when the king will come back again and we will be in His presence. And you can get a glimpse of this over in the book of Revelation. And you can see that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He already is today. And God has given us the blessed ones, the ones who have already made this true personal commitment of your life to Jesus Christ, because God has revealed Himself to us in His glorious and gracious salvation. And so from our perspective, we should be able to get excited about the things of God. And so this psalm is just one of these psalms that reminds us. It's not the only psalm. Psalm 46 tells us to clap our hands before the Lord and shout to the Lord. Psalm 66 tells us to shout to the Lord. This isn't a one and done passage. This is a common theme throughout the scripture. You know, and sometimes I realize we have different forms of worship today, but it wouldn't hurt some of us to every now and then let out a good amen. Amen? That's a good word, amen. Or how about a hallelujah or a praise the Lord? Or, you know, God is a great and a glorious God. He's worthy of our praise, and we know this. And sometimes I realize that as a pastor, we have to come before you, and hopefully we're excited about the things of God that God has taught us in our study, and we're looking forward to preaching and sharing and teaching the Word of God. But honestly, guys, sometimes we don't have a lot to work with. I really do wish that some of us would spend a little bit more time in preparing our hearts for worship. And we'd come in here prepared, full throttle, giving God praise. This psalm is fixing to just unfold for us little by little. We are to approach Him with a joyful proclamation. Now you say, well, is that distinct from singing? Well, in this psalm it is. I think the two can complement one another. But this psalm divides the two, because not only do we come before Him with joyful noises and shouts of praise to the Lord of all the earth, he says in verse 2, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. This is another way we approach God. We serve Him in a spirit of gladness. Now, it seems so difficult today, and our church is blessed with a lot of different ministries and a lot of different volunteers, and it's still hard at times to find this old-fashioned service. I think about the old-fashioned filling stations that I used to go to when I was a little boy, and they would, a lot of them, have the theme with my dad. My dad one time was part owner in a little service station, and you used to kind of get this service that we would call service with a smile. You know, the attendants would run out, they'd check the air in your tires. Today, it's hard to even find air to put in your tires. You know, they'd clean your windows. They'd change your windshield wipers for a small fee if you had to buy some new windshield wipers. and they'd truly serve you. You know, and as Christians, God is saying, I want you to have an attitude of gratitude. It's not just about what you do and how you approach, when you come into God's presence, but it's how you approach God. And he uses the descriptive term here with gladness, not with sadness. You know, come before God with this joyful gladness, this happiness of your heart and your soul. And so serve him. You know, I help lead some of the ministries here at the church. We have a lot of great ministries, but you know, one of the big, I guess, volunteer ministries that our church is involved in now is the food pantry ministry. Some of you are in here tonight, and you know, some of you may just have to put your seatbelt on for a minute, because sometimes I have to give the workers down there a pep talk. I give myself a pep talk. If you're here today reluctantly to serve and you're going to gripe and complain, then you don't need to be here serving. That's not the spirit of service that God wants to see in your life and in my life. If you're serving to bring attention to yourself and so that you'll feel better about yourself, that's not the right motive for you to serve. You're serving out of a spirit of gratitude and just you knowing that God has blessed you. And you know, sometimes we can find ourselves in ministry, and we do at times. I realize there's a true reality of what we call ministerial burnout. And the word ministry is the same word we have for service. And sometimes we just have to pull back. And one of the best things sometimes we can do if we're just pushing ourselves too strong is we just have to clear our head and take a little break. A little sabbatical of sorts will help us. It'll help us regain our love for God. And when we regain our love for God, we regain our love for serving others and serving God. We serve God by serving others. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Jesus takes our service very personal. And he calls us to serve him in a spirit of gladness. Not madness, not sadness, not uptightness, whatever adjective you want to use to describe a negative flow on your Christian service. It's not like, and the whole philosophy that goes with this, and I think you're familiar with this, but this psalm does such a good job. It's not like I have to go do this. It's, Lord, thank you, I get to go do this. And God has given me an opportunity. Marlo's looking for some servants tonight, and she looked in here, and I said, Marlo, we're a bunch of old men in here. I told her that. There's some young guys in here. She's needing a few help to help bring down some Christmas trees from a storage room. They're going to make our church real pretty. And so if you don't help her tonight, I'm coming after you. Amen. So just another opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness. And so we look at this and we see this. So we come before him with joyful shouting, with service. And then we also come to him in verse 2 at the end of it with singing. Now this may be the highlight of how we enter into God's presence. We love to sing at Central. Amen. And we love to sing because God puts a song in our heart. So he says, come into his presence with singing. I pray that there's a song in your heart. And I pray that you're able to sing as you come into God's presence Monday through Saturday too, not just on Sunday. If you sing more during your week and your worship, I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning, the illustration from the Bible Studies for Life curriculum that we're using, they mentioned just this elderly lady that was in a nursing home. It made me think of Miss Maggie's dear mother, Miss Kinley, and how joyful she was in her service. And this dear lady was asked about how she keeps herself focused on God and fresh in her faith. And she said, well, every morning I get up and I read my Bible till I can't read it no more. And then I pray till I can't pray no more. And then I just sit here the rest of the day and share God's love to everyone who comes my way. And I've seen those spirits, even in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. I just wish we could see more of them in our lives, even as a people of God, as we go out into the community. And we learn to serve the Lord with gladness and to come into His presence with singing. You know, one of the great devotional tools that most of us should probably incorporate into our family worship time would be a hymn book. Find us a hymn book. Do you realize that this book we're studying out of tonight that has 150 chapters in it, it's called the Book of Psalms. It's the Hebrew hymn book. Putting in written form the lyrics here for us to just celebrate and reflect on. All of these psalms were originally sung as songs of praise and worship. We still have praise and worship songs. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Spirit. And it tells us speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart. Don't discount the value of singing and music in your worship. Let God stir your heart. I know that most of you know I work with the men at Renewal Ranch some. I teach out there on a regular basis. And I noticed the other day that in one of their chapel services, they placed up what they call their 10 rules, it may be 9 or 10 rules of success. And one of those rules for success just in living the Christian life is that you would listen exclusively to Christian music. And I know that'd probably be a stretch for a lot of us. A lot of us, I'm not saying that all music is bad or wrong, but I think we expose ourselves to a lot more of the world's philosophy through secular music than we realize. And there's too much, there's just a lot of Christian music, more so than ever before out there, that we can stir our hearts. And I realize that this is just a little encouragement I'm trying to give you tonight, but when God's word tells us that we're to come into His presence with singing, I think just the spirit of knowing God and knowing His word and seeing the Psalms, I think that that would almost call us to consider what type of singing we're doing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Making melody in our hearts. You can tell most of the time, by the way, that's a sign of not being filled with the Spirit. When you reluctantly have difficulty singing songs of praise and worship to God. And you say, well, Brother Mike, I don't have a good voice. Well, I don't either. Ask anybody who knows me. But that doesn't keep me from singing. I mean, we need to sing because God has done a wondrous thing in our hearts and in our lives. And these are the simple tools that God gives us here for approaching God. Making a joyful noise. Let out a good hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord. Let your service be filled with gladness, and let your singing be spiritual songs of sincerity of a heart that's overflowing before God. And not only as we move on in this, in verse 3, are we called here to approach God in a specific way, we're also called to apprehend or grasp or know God, even as verse 3 tells us, know that the Lord, He is God. We could spend all night on that one statement right there in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. So now He begins to really fuel the fire. When we come into His presence and our focus is reminded, because the psalmist has reminded us here, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the very reality of God tells us there are things about God that should excite us and get us into a true spirit of thanksgiving praise in our lives. And He says here, I want you not only to know that you are to approach God, but you're to fully apprehend God. You're to grasp Him mentally. And He uses the word here, know. There are things, what you don't know can and will hurt you, contrary to popular opinion. Because there are great realities that God wants us to know. And the greatest of all is in this verse right here in front of us. Know that the Lord, He is God. And I love the punctuation here. It's an exclamation point. And when we read an exclamation point, it should get us a little excited ourselves. Amen? And we should see that. God is very precise to use punctuation in Scripture. And we need to understand that a period is that, but an exclamation point is that. And he says, know that the Lord is God. This is the greatest reality in all the world. And so sad that so many in our world today doubt the reality of God, of his existence. And God goes on to clarify some of this. Brother Don alluded to some of that this morning, even in his text. But to know that he is God is to understand the reality that God does exist. Some people argue that. Some people deny that. But you know, some people say, well, you know, prove to me that God exists. Well, the proof is everywhere, even according to Scripture. They want us to prove it outside of Scripture. Well, even in our conscience, as Michael Treat preached a message on over 2 months ago and talking about God's restraining spirit and how he has put certain governing factors in our life. I love that message that Michael preached a couple of months ago on a Sunday morning that Brother Don was away from us. And he reminds us that God has placed a witness of himself inside ourselves. Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says it this way, that God has placed eternity in your heart. There is a sense that God is God. And we know that there's got to be something more. And you say, Brother Mike, and I've seen no greater place that that becomes a reality than at a funeral. When people come and they're mindful of their own mortality and they're thinking, is this all there is? And if they're still sensitive to the voice of God at all and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit working in their life, then they understand and they know that even in their conscience, it's trying to push them to the reality to know that the Lord, he is God. And the Bible doesn't try to argumentatively prove the existence of God. You go all the way back to Genesis 1, and it just simply states the truth. In the beginning, God. The very first words of the Bible. And God has entrusted into our care a book that we call the Bible, the Word of God, that gives us the revelation of God. Besides the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, who was the greatest revelation in the Word of God, there's no other greater revelation of God than the book that God gave us of himself that we call the Holy Bible. And Jesus, in fact, is the living Word of God. So we need to know his person, that he is God, very God. And he reveals himself to us in a manifold number of ways. Romans 1, Paul started talking to the church at Rome, and he told them that even nature itself and creation reveals that there's a God. We know the Psalms even reflect on that as well also, talking about, you know, that the heavens declare your glory. And so we need to understand that God is God and in his person, and we need to really gain a fuller knowledge of God. And I feel that, you know, a lot of people struggle just in their lives of faith. And when you have a weak and a struggling faith, then it affects your faithfulness. The more you believe in God, the more faithful you are to God. Amen? Some of you are trying to absorb that right now. It's a reality. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. One reason some of you have a bigger mindset of God than others is you spend a lot of time with him in personal, private devotion. You take him serious. You don't just haphazard rush through a just quick word in the morning. And because you've been serving God or saying you've believed in God now for 20 or 30 or maybe 40 years, you've grown in your spiritual appetite. What used to be adequate is no longer adequate. You know, you used to could get by with just a little quick verse here and there, but now it's just more and more time. Like that dear lady that I quoted a minute ago in the nursing home, I spend as much time as I can in the Word of God, and then I spend as much time as I can praying, and then I spend the rest of the day just savoring and sharing the love of God. You know, we need to understand that God needs to be a priority in our lives. And if we truly know that the Lord, He is God, it will make a real difference in how you approach Him every day of your life. If He's really God, and one day you're going to stand before Him, and you're going to be with the angelic beings and the heavenly host, and you're going to be with all the saints of the ages, and we're going to be giving Him praise, then shouldn't that affect the way we approach Him and give gratitude to Him right here and right now today? It should. And so I encourage you. So we approach Him in His person, and then we also approach Him understanding His power and His sovereignty in our life. Know that it is He who has made us, and we are His. He shows personal possessiveness of His creation. Now, I think specifically this is talking about His children, but it has application in a broader way to all of humanity, because in a general way, God is the God of all people, because God created the heavens and the earth, and we know we read Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and the height of God's creation on day 6 was mankind, and God created us. And so in a general sense, He is the God of all humanity, of all creation, including mankind. And so when we see this and we understand that God is the God who made us, and He's talking about this, He says, we are His, then we need to give Him honor and give Him glory as we understand and we apprehend and we grasp the greatness of our God. And then He ends up in this, not only with His power, but what I would say here with His purpose in our lives. As He said, we are His people and we are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, Peter said it over in his epistle and letter, when he would said it like this, showing the possessiveness of God over our lives. A beautiful day. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Why? That you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. You are God's people. You are His chosen people. And that should create in us a knowledge that just sets our hearts on fire to worship Him, knowing that God cares about us in this way. He is the shepherd of our souls. We are the sheep of His pasture. Now, I realize a lot of times we don't like sheep wander away. Sheep have a tendency to drift. But it's a beautiful thing to come back and to understand that we are His sheep. As the psalmist said in the great beloved 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And this is one of the dilemmas of Christianity today. We're wanting way too much stuff. We're not finding that sweet peace of contentment that comes with knowing the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm His sheep. And He takes care of His sheep, even as Brother Don wonderfully shared with us this morning, as we understand that. So we see His purpose, His power, and we see His person as we apprehend God. And then let me finish up by just getting to the conclusion, which is the great exclamation point of the passage, verse 4 and 5. Finally, appreciating God. And so He just pushes us. And He says here, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now the picture here, the symbol of the temple was there. The temple was always a very special place of worship for the children of God. And the tabernacle before it. They knew that God's presence was there. God has told us in the New Testament that our bodies are the temples of God. That's a lot to take in. He puts His Spirit within us, and we become the very dwelling place of God, where God resides. And so He says, as I enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We have our own gates and we have our own courts, figuratively, symbolically. As God would tell us in Scripture to draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. You know, I read this statement many years ago and I wrestled with this statement and I've shared it before and I'll share it again. There is a sense in which you and I are as close to God tonight as we choose to be. God has revealed himself to us and he invites us here to come before his presence and appreciate him and value him. And yet we let all these other things and all this other stuff interrupt our sweet fellowship with our God. And so God reminds us that even as he repeats himself at the end of verse 4, to give thanks to him and bless his name. An attitude of gratitude needs to come from our heart continually as we continually just give thanks to God and we praise God and we worship God, entering his gates with thanksgiving. And then we have so much we appreciate him for, and the beloved psalm ends in verse 5. We appreciate him. We praise him. Why? Because the Lord is good. Amen? He is a good God. And that's a lot better than the obvious. The enemy is not a good God. He's a God of a lesser sort with a little capital G. He's the God of this world who is a thief, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But our God is a good God. And he came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. And I pray as we celebrate and enjoy the life he's given us, the spiritual life first and foremost, our very salvation as he's called us into a relationship with himself. What a gracious God he is to do that for us. And we should forever. You know, as I've heard people describe before, and I've even sensed it in my own heart, and hopefully you have too, I'll never forget the day that God saved me. And I hope I never get over it. It's the one thing in my life when God came into my life and truly gave me the gift of eternal life. It was the game changer. From that moment to this moment, 30-something years, God has proven himself to me. Not that he had to, but just because he's a good God, he chose to. Over and over and over and over again, he has never let me down. And if you know my God, you have the same testimony that I do. So we appreciate him because he's a good God. We appreciate him because his steadfast love endures forever. It's not conditional. It's not a fair weather type of love. It's a steadfast love. It's a love that's there regardless of what we go through, the good and the bad and the happy and the sad. God's love is still there being poured out on every one of us. And his steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. I love the way he brings in the generations. And I don't know, when you see this word, it stirs my heart to believe what is all intact in the generations. Perhaps it's the generations that precede us, or perhaps it's the generations that are to come behind us. And I would say, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's both. I'm so thankful for the ones who've gone before us, and God gives us a little glimpse of that in Hebrews chapter 11 when it says we are surrounded in chapter 12, by such a great a cloud of witnesses. And although they were talking about those great heroes of the faith of chapter 11, there's a sense that which we've all had heroes of the faith that have impacted our life. and his faithfulness to our grandparents or our great-grandparents or our parents or our uncles or aunts or other people reminds us of his faithfulness to all generations. And then a weird thing happens as you have children and you see he's faithful to my children, to the next generation. And now I'm going to really get shouting because I'm fixing to be a granddad in about a month. And then you talk about the generation after that. And then the generations after that. And you're reminded that our God is a faithful God. You come into my office. One of the little pictures that's in the corner of my window. I love Brother Don has generational pictures of his family in his office. There's a picture of this little short-statured man in a pair of bibbed overalls with a straw hat on. He's kneeling down in the middle of his garden holding a great old big watermelon. And that was my grandfather, who lived the Christian life in such a wonderful way that it impacted me and drove me to his Savior. And just his simple, loving way of life. I told you we should sing Monday through Friday. I learned to sing many of the hymns of the faith while riding on the back of my granddad's tractor going out to the pasture to feed the cows. I can hear my grandfather singing those songs and those hymns, and God forever impacted me with his influence. Why? And tonight he reminds me again, he's faithful throughout all generations. Folks, we are a people that has so much to be thankful to God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Even as this said, his mercy, his steadfast love, his mercy endures forever. I'm going to invite us to stand tonight and we're going to close this service. I know I've preached longer than normal, but I had a lot of time. Praise the Lord. Still let you out a few minutes early. Daryl does good, and we just kind of a little bit less formal on Sunday night, and I just share my heart, and I know Thanksgiving has just passed, but I don't want us to miss the opportunity, even as we launch into the Christmas season. You know, we're going to be celebrating a lot of the birth of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift mankind has ever known, and even that should give us so much to be thankful for. Me and Brother Don will be here in the altar. If you have a prayer request or a need tonight, we'll be glad to encourage you, pray for you. If God's laying some other decision on your heart and you'd like to just speak with us about that, we'll be here to receive you as we sing.
I hear the Savior say,